Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For over 10 years, VOC Nation has taken listeners behind the scenes of the greatest moments in pro wrestling history. Our hosts are not only experts on the business, but have lived in the business. Subscribe and hear weekly podcasts from hosts like legendary pro wrestling journalist Bill Apter, former Impact Wrestling star Wes Briscoe, former WWE and AWA broadcaster Ken Resnick, former WWE and TNA star Shelly Martinez, former WCW star The Maestro, NWA legend The Raging Bull Manny Fernandez, and much more. VOC Nation programming is free on most major podcasting apps, including iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Radio.com. And video podcast and bonus content is available on Patreon for as low as $3 a month. What are you waiting for? Head to VOCNation.com and dig into the most comprehensive podcast network built for pro wrestling fans. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at VOC Nation Wrestling Network and follow us on Twitter at VOC Nation.
Everyone, and welcome to WCW Retro. I'm your host for the evening, Papa Stro, the Maestro of Wrestling. Great to have you guys with us once again. It's going to be a special night tonight because we're going to be talking some of our favorite debuts over the years, of some of our favorite wrestling personalities. And I can't wait to dive into that discussion with you guys right here. It's going to be a good time. I can feel it in WCW Retro. Place to be. We talk about past, present, future professional wrestling. There's so much more. You never know who's going to call in. It's half the fun. It's the Wild Wild West, the podcast right here on VOCNation.com. And speaking of VOCNation.com, enjoy all our great programming on VOCNation.com in the room every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Wrestling with History every Wednesday night with Bruce Wirt, Ken Resnick, and Bill Apter. Of course, WCW Retro every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We've got Wrestling with Problems, Briscoe and Big Ace, Raging Bull, Manny Fernandez, plus all of our great podcasts that you can enjoy right here on VOCNation.com. Just go to VOCNation.com and look for the scheduled times and dates of your favorite VOCNation.com podcast. And support us on Pro Wrestling Tees at ProWrestlingTees.com/VOCNation. And buy your favorite VOC Nation t-shirt today, including one of WCW Retro and one of yours truly, Papa Stro, the Four Faces of Stro. So check it out. Also, I have merchandise on sale on my merchandise page, thestro.com/merchandise. New Papa Ween merchandise is on sale now. We're going to be celebrating Papa Ween throughout the month of October. So now is your chance to get your Papa Ween merch right now. All ages, including pets, So go to thestro.com, thestro.com/merchandise to get your Papa Ween merch today. And if you'd like to donate to yours truly, Papa Stro, buy me a cup of coffee, tips, etc. And thank you for those who have already donated to me. Much love and appreciation for that. But if you'd like to donate to me, Papa Stro, send it to my PayPal at paypal.me, M as in Mary, E as in Eat, /Papa Stro. And all together, that's paypal.me/Papa Stro. And thank you in advance for your support. If you'd like to be a special guest on the upcoming episode of WCW Retro, hit me up. Email at WCWRetro@yahoo.com. Give you some exposure, if you will, on WCW Retro. Also, I'm taking bookings. TV, wrestling, film, voiceover, commentary, seminars, conventions, charities, radio interviews, television commercials, you name it. I do a lot these days. Special appearances, autograph signings, you name it. Hit me up, strofoya@yahoo.com, STRO4YA@yahoo.com. All together, strofoya@yahoo.com. And let's talk business. And yes, I have started doing commentary for Shockwave Wrestling Entertainment. That started this past weekend. It was great seeing everybody there at Shockwave Wrestling Entertainment. Had a good time. I got some events I'll be doing commentary coming up. And I'll keep you guys posted in the next couple of months. For the latest from Shockwave Wrestling Entertainment, go to shockwavewrestlingentertainment.com. And also you can go to Shockwave Wrestling Entertainment on Facebook as well. Shout out to Masters of Ring Entertainment, mastersofringentertainment.com. Fishing with Special Friends at fishingwithspecialfriends.com. Friends in the Maritimes area in Canada, Innovative Hybrid Wrestling. Find out what they're up to on their Facebook, facebook.com/IHW Wrestling. I have a new horror movie coming out possibly towards the end of the year called Stench of Iniquity, which I'll be starring as an ancient vampire named Abba in the film. And you can check out updates at their Facebook page, facebook.com/Stench of Iniquity. Also, I have a premiere coming up for a film, which I'll be starring as Dr. Arkham in, The Devil's Daughter, the Harlequin origin story, which you can check out October 30th in its premiere at the Golden Ticket Cinemas Twin in Lenoir, North Carolina. And for more information, go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/RealDevil'sDaughter. And I'll be on set later on this season for the fourth season of the Dust series, which I currently star as the Chief. And to catch up on all three seasons of the Dust series, go to their YouTube channel, youtube.com/DUSK series. And for social media, my official website is thestro.com, thestro.com, merchandise, thestro.com/merchandise, Facebook at Stro the Maestro, Twitter at @StroTheMaestro, Instagram at @StroTheMaestro. Subscribe to my YouTube channel at youtube.com/StroMaestro. I'm on Twitch at twitch.tv/RealPapaStro. And with that, we'll take a first commercial break. And when we come back, we'll be talking greatest and favorite debuts in wrestling. And deleting the commercial, we'll be playing some... Let's go over to some Sting. Right. Be back in a few minutes, folks. Stick with us.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
This is Lance Storm, and if I can be serious for a minute, you're listening to VOC Nation worldwide.
VOC Nation is one of the longest-running wrestling podcast networks. Having started way back in 2010, VOC Nation provides daily streaming shows where fans have the ability to interact with their hosts and guests via phone calls, emails, and Twitter. VOC Nation hosts also include former backstage interviewer from both AWA and WWE, Ken Resnick, former WCW performer The Maestro, former Impact performer Wes Prisco, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributor Brady Hicks, and former Philadelphia radio personality Bruce Wirt. VOC Nation's two most popular shows are Wrestling with History, featuring Ken Resnick and Bruce Wirt, streaming live on Wednesday nights at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, and In the Room, featuring Pro Wrestling Illustrated Brady Hicks and WCW alum The Maestro. Both shows take callers live during the show, and recent guests have included General Adnan, Tito Santana, Haku, Earl Hebner, Dangerous Danny Davis, Jimmy Hart, Ricky Steamboat, Brodus Clay, and so many more. Archive-free content includes past interviews with huge names like Hulk Hogan, Jesse Ventura, Kurt Angle, Sting, Mick Foley, Joey Styles, Howard Finkel, and so many more. Listen live at VOCNation.com and subscribe to all the podcasts by searching VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app. And be sure to follow these guys on Twitter, at VOC Nation.
Hola, this is your amiga, Shelly from Cali, to let you know you can catch me here on VOC Nation for Shelly Live. You never know what the hell I'm going to be talking about. Sometimes I have guests, sometimes I let you on in the cheese mess, spill a little tea. Sometimes I cry. You have to tune in to find out why. And I also take your calls. I love chatting with you guys and seeing what the hell you guys are thinking. So meet me here on the VOC Nation. Be there or be square.
Rock and Roll Union for the past 2 years has been the place for rock and roll, new rock and roll, debuting rock and roll, and some of the old classics as well. We have welcomed guests from around the world, national artists and more. We've excited many people by our live events. We've welcomed everybody into the fold, and we continue to do so on a weekly basis. Guys, that is Rock and Roll Union, and that is what we do for you.
Saturdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, VOCNation.com. Each and every Thursday night, check it out. WCW star Stro Maestro takes you on a journey. It's WCW Retro, talking old school match of the week, talking dream matches, taking your calls and looking back on an incredible career of acting, entertaining, and wrestling. Check it out, VOCNation.com, WCW Retro. Be sure to call in Thursday nights, 9 Eastern, on the VOC Nation Radio Network.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Welcome back to WCW Retro. Papa Stroh here. Great to have you with us. And tonight we're talking greatest and favorite debuts in wrestling history. And I can't wait to talk about it with you callers here tonight. And which you can call in any time during tonight's live WCW Retro podcast at 914-338-1885. Once again, that number is 914-338-1885. And let's get to the callers, shall we? All right. And I believe it's my man, Evasion Velvet. Is this you, my brother?
Yes, it is, sir. I am here.
All right.
I am
Welcome
here.
Back.
Yeah, man.
Oh, you're here.
I needed this today. I needed this today. It was a rough day, but I needed this right now.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you, brother. You and me both.
let's get it on.
Yes. Last night was great. Oh gosh.
It was great. It was a good. It was good. It was funny. We roasted her pretty well.
Oh, my ribs.
Poor Granny is never going to be the same again.
Oh, it's tremendous,
but,
man.
It was, you know what? And she took it like a trooper. I have to give her that.
She sure
she
did.
She stayed the whole time and took it like a trooper. She knew she was going to get it, so I mean, it's all good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, happy birthday, by the way, to Granny Hulkster.
Yeah, Sunday's her birthday. Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right on.
Right.
Yeah, tonight, greatest and favorite debuts through the years of your favorite wrestling personalities. You got any that come to mind?
I'm ready.
Yes.
When Magnum T.A. showed up in the Mid-Atlantic area.
Oh, yeah.
He just lost the North American heavyweight title. Came in. First day on the job, he wrestles Wahoo McDaniel in a steel cage for the U.S. title. It was a whole hour show, and that match took up the whole hour, and Magnum T.A. won the title.
Oh, man, what a match that was, too.
Was like one of the best debuts for me, being that wrestling was starting to change right there and in that era of NWA to WCW, and it was perfect timing to bring him in. Perfect timing. So, I mean, that was the smartest move. Whoever fought to get him there did the right thing.
Right.
At that point in time.
Right. So, God, I mean, when he riding the scene, he was huge.
Oh, my goodness. If they only knew back then, today, what they knew, what happened back then, talk about a pop. Wahoo McDaniel's in the ring holding the title and waiting to see who he's going to wrestle. And Magnum T.A. comes out. That pop for that crowd was as big as CM Punk's pop.
God, electric.
So, It is. It makes your skin crawl, man. It does
man.
For me because those are the moments you can't forget from your childhood. And well, I was a little older than by then, but still, I was continuing to watch it from four, to the day. So that's 50 years I've been watching wrestling. So yeah, I mean that was one of my ultimate favorites. Now there were some other funny ones, but you know.
You remember when the American Starship made their debut? Dan Spivey and Scott Hall.
Right. Yep. Yep. That was funny.
And that was back when Scott Hall looked like Tom Selleck from Magnum P.I.
Yeah, he had a little stash going on, you know.
Right.
The curly hair. He is all loaded with hair all over his chest, but it was wet back then. It was proportioned right. Not like when he became Razor Ramon where it was like everywhere. But, he looked the part. Now, you got to realize when he was in AWA, you know, long before all of this happened, he was the guy. You know, they were trying to get him to be, groom him to be the next AWA champion. And,
That's right.
He had to go some routines. He went through some people and this and that. And then I can't remember if he got injured or he left the territory for a hot minute and came back. I can't totally remember what happened with that. But I remember he had disappeared for a little bit, but showed back up.
Mm-hmm.
But by then, he was already out of that picture.
Right.
Yeah.
We're being joined by Special Steve.
Yes.
Steve, how's it going, sir?
Just
got a class really tired, but
I'm
calling. It's a good topic. Okay. Yeah. Glad you're back. You're back. We're getting some static.
I know.
That's weird.
Okay, can you hear me? Yeah, can you hear us?
I can now.
Okay.
What the heck is going on?
Yeah.
It's Dr. John and the alien.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a retro Star Trek movie. Where Kirk, Captain Kirk, and the human state with Spock.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to mess you up somehow.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
That's crazy. I'm going to see if I can... If it's on my end, I got to look around real quick. I don't think it is, but I'm going to look around here and see what's going on with my mouth.
I just put in my earbuds in, so I should sound better, man. Sometimes I'm on speaker when I call in, but I'm muted when I'm not talking, but I'm on earbuds now.
Okay. Yeah, tonight we're talking greatest and favorite debuts through the years. Yeah, do you have any that come to mind?
Yeah, the Kane debut, Bad Blood.
Which debut was that, Bad Blood, again? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
It was Kane's debut, October 5th, 1997.
Kane, yes. Kane, that's right. Okay, yeah.
Bad Blood in
your what a tape. Well, he rips the door off the cage. Yeah. That was wild.
Yeah. And the Tombstone's Undertaker after holding him up for a second. And, it was a pretty impactful debut. And Paul Bear hyping him up for a month prior to that. And then, the big reveal, Vince McMahon yelling, "That's got to be Kane." That's just probably one of the best wrestling debuts ever.
Right. Yeah, that was pretty amazing. And he was a beast.
And, Shawn Michaels, the win in that Hell in a Cell match, and after he was getting slaughtered by Undertaker.
Yeah, what a match that was. With Taker and HBK, man.
Yeah, and Mankind had to try to top it in 98. Both the first two Saw matches are pretty legendary.
Wow. Sounds like a storm. Electrical storm going on. Goodness gracious.
This is nuts.
Yeah. Do you remember the Oz debut? With Kevin Nash and Jeff Stone?
Beat it!
Hey, no one tried it. Okay. How about now?
Yay.
Can you start?
Yay.
I think it's on Steve's end. I'm about to let him know.
Oh. Yikes.
Hey, Steve, I think the static's on your end, buddy. That's
weird.
I'm
wearing my earbuds.
Yeah. Because I just tested it out, and it seemed like it was coming in. I don't know. You sound better now. We're not well.
Don't jig yourself, buddy.
Yeah, I don't jig myself. Yeah, you remember Oz with Kevin Nash and Sullivan?
Oh, yeah.
The Oz they would do with Kevin, yeah.
Jeez.
And he literally wore the, like, Oz outfit.
Yeah. Crazy.
I was looking up Oz, as you mentioned him, and there's an article where Nash talked about Oz being popular in Japan, which is pretty interesting. I think I did see a picture of Oz and Jushin Liger in this tag team at one point.
Yeah.
So it's funny, like, people kind of laugh at Oz, but for some reason, Kevin Nash is popular there, which is pretty cool.
I didn't do it, Captain.
What? Do you remember the Chris Champion and Sean Royal, the team from the future?
Yeah. What was the name of the team? Dadgummit. Oh. You talking about the New Breed?
The New Breed. Yes. Yes.
I like that tag team. I really did like them as a tag team.
They were the team from the future.
Yes. Yes, and I loved every bit of it.
That was great. Yeah, they were good.
Yeah, I kind of missed them when they disappeared, you know?
Yeah.
It was kind of dopey, actually. When they left, their tag teams were all injured at that time, and they were keeping everything afloat.
Yeah, that's right.
And
I think
the Midnight Express had left for a short minute because of contractual stuff, and then they came back. And I know Robert was injured. That's when Ricky was basically by himself for a hot minute.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was crazy. That's Steve-O then, for real. I can't hear a word.
No, I was on mute. I don't know what's going on. I saw it. I was on mute.
Is there a storm
going
on over
here? Damn it, VOC Nation. By me.
No.
I'm indoors. I even turn off the AC. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I don't either. Because I tried it with just Velvet and I talking. I didn't get the static.
And then when I'm not talking, I usually put it on mute just to see what happens.
Okay. Yeah, just try that too. Yeah. We'll wait for you.
Oh, boy. Yikes.
Oh, wow. Let there be light.
Do you know who was a funny... Yeah, Lord. You know who was a funny debut?
It was when
Boogie got run out of town and came back as Downtown Charlie Brown. Or Charlie Brown from out of town. From out of town, baby.
From out of town. Oh, man.
Yeah,
that was
funny as all get up.
It was great, man. Oh, man.
And poor freaking Jim Gary Hart was, you know, you may play me by a fool, but I know the boogie woogie man when I see one.
Oh my gosh.
That's boogie woogie under that mask.
That's right up there with the Midnight Rider and the Yellow Dog.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Oh, yeah, but it was so funny. Gary Hart was sick, man. He was like, I know that's him. It was great. And then, do you remember when they did the switcheroo where they put somebody else in the mask and Boogie came out behind.
Yeah.
And showed it wasn't him. Showed it wasn't him, but he had somebody else in that mask that looked like him.
That's right. That's right. You know, they did the same thing to Mr. R. Mr. R with Tommy
Rich. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, the trip to the Aussie, and it was Brad Armstrong. He won the, I think, the national championship. Yeah.
It was the national title. Yep. That was fun,
yeah.
too.
And Tommy Rich was at ringside waving at him. Hi. Oh, my God.
Another good return was when Wahoo came back after his broken leg, and, you know, Greg Valentine was wearing the shirt, "I broke Wahoo's leg."
Mm-hmm.
That was a huge feud after that. He came back.
Yes, it was.
He had been out for a few months and came back, and, man, I'm going to tell you what, they were ripping skin off each other.
Man, brutal.
Ooh.
Speaking of return, we have
okay.
to return to the Skype caller. So this could be anybody.
Uh-oh.
So
that's
the 111.
He's still looking for Kyle.
Let's see if it's Brian. Brian,
it's
is
Brian.
This you, sir?
Hello.
Hello.
Who are we speaking with?
Hello. Hello.
That's Brian. He's looking for Kyle.
What are you doing, amazing Billy?
You looking for Kyle still, buddy? He ain't here tonight, bro.
I sent him your way. He's supposed to fry you some eggs and fix you some dinner.
You're fixing some dinner?
No, he's supposed to fry you some eggs and fix you some dinner. I sent him your way.
Okay.
Oh. Mm. Breakfast,
okay,
breakfast
buddy.
Sounds pretty cool.
I do that a lot. I do that sometimes.
Hey, Brian, tonight we're talking about some of the greatest and favorite debuts in wrestling history through the years. So you got any that stick out in your mind you'd like to share?
Yeah, I've got one. And I got to tell you, you know, I've been watching wrestling my whole life, and I got to say, CM Punk's AEW Rampage debut was by far one of the greatest debuts I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, that was definitely happening.
Oh, it was.
Did you get CM Punk ice cream bar?
No, we got... The people in attendance did those. That was pretty cool, though. You know, on eBay, those things are selling for like $200 a piece, the wrapper.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm in the wrong business, bro.
It's wild.
Yeah, right.
It's crazy. But I'll tell you what, though.
Look at Steve
back on here.
Steve.
I'll tell you what, though.
Everything good now?
Oh, okay.
I'm just seeing Steve's mic.
Yeah, I was just muting myself because I didn't know what was going on, but I do agree with Brian that CM Punk debut was great. I think he had one of the best crowd reactions I've seen since his 2011 match with John Cena in Chicago.
Absolutely. Yeah, by the way, Steve, you sound a lot better. We're not getting that static anymore. You sound a lot better.
Yeah.
You do. I did want to mention, though, for anybody out there who is, you know, downgrading the debut, you know, like one particular person did, but I'm not going to mention their name because, you know, they did it in a way, you know, where they looked at it from their side of the, you know, fence, and they had their own opinion and stuff, which, you know, I respect that, and I like this person and that thing. So, but anyway, you know, Jim Cornette even played the debut, and that threw me by surprise when I heard Jim Cornette praise the debut. But I was like, man, I was like, that's amazing, you know. But because you know Jim Cornette, you know, he usually You know, he used the craps on a lot of calls, you know, but, you know, when he even praised that, you know, I was like, man, I was like, that's, you know, really got some head turning, you know, but, you know, the thing about it is, though, you know, I don't really care what Roman Reigns said in an interview saying that CM Punk never moved the needle or got over like him and John Cena, and he said that he went on to say that John Moxley, when he was in WWE as Dean Ambrose, that he wasn't that he could have been a big star, but he wouldn't have ever been a big star like he was. And I was like, okay, but I think Roman Reigns is just playing up his heel character that he has to portray and have to do. So, you know, more as a friend of mine used to say, the Sheik of Arabia used to say, more power to him. So more power to Roman Reigns. If, you know, whatever place he goes, you know.
Yep. Yeah, that was definitely happening with the Punk debut for sure. One that sticks to my mind that, you know, we have to talk about this one was the debut of Y2J to WWE with The Rock, man. That was pretty huge.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that really, you know, when The Rock was out there and he was talking, and as big as a star as The Rock is and Rock was at that time in WWE, and he was out there talking, and then to be cut off and interrupted, I mean, by Chris Jericho's countdown music and the new millennium coming in, and that was unbelievable. I mean, that was amazing. You know, I gotta give props for that too.
You got any more stick in your mind, Velvet?
Let's see.
Trip down memory lane, baby.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm thinking. This is probably older than everybody here. You may remember it if you were a kid. I remember when the Mighty Igor showed up in Mid-Atlantic with his Polish sausage.
Oh, yeah.
He always carried
the Polish sausage, yeah.
Yep.
Right.
And before he got there, they reenacted it. They redid the same spot. But Boris Malenko, when he was in, I don't know if it was Memphis territory or that area.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot who put a cigar out in his eye.
Right.
Oh, it was Boris Malenko. Boris Malenko did that to him. And then they had somebody else do it in NWA, Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling. They did it again.
Mm-hmm.
They beat him up. They put the cigar out in his eye and all this. I was like, as a kid, you never see anything like that. You know, this guy comes out eating a sausage, asking everybody if they want a bite. Next note, he gets jumped, he gets the crap beat out of him, and this guy's smoking a cigar and just sticks it right in his eye socket. And you're like, what just happened? I freaked out. I had to run get my mom. Is this guy going to be okay?
Oh, my goodness.
My mom did not like wrestling. She was like, I don't watch that. I don't care. I was like,
good,
okay, you don't care. That was one that that has been etched in my mind for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. And what about the Honky Tonk Man's debut?
Honky Tonk Man.
Yes,
Honky Tonk Man
came out, gets his Intercontinental title right off the rip.
Yeah, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat,
and then the funny thing is he loses in worse fashion in less than a minute to freaking the Ultimate Warrior.
Oh my goodness,
that was pretty funny though. I mean, go ahead, Brian.
And speaking of Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, what about his memorable debut in the NWA when he joined Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert.
Oh, yeah, when he came at, had that title run with Ric Flair.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was pretty big. That was a good match, too. It was, I think, Flair, Ric Flair and Barry Windham and against Eddie Gilbert and Ricky Steamboat.
Yeah, that was real good.
Mm-hmm.
When did, as you know, I honestly don't remember this. When did Lex Luger debut for the NWA? I don't never remember saying that.
Oh, you had to ask that question. Thanks.
I just happened to think. You know, thank you.
Now, he was in Florida for a while. Matter of fact, he was Florida heavyweight champion there for a while.
I mean, you're talking about NWA, Mid-Atlantic area.
That's when they brought him in with the Horsemen. Yeah. He first came in.
Oh, so he actually debuted with the Horsemen?
Yeah.
Okay.
He came in the Atlanta, yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Because he replaced Ole Anderson.
Mm-hmm. He sure did.
What is Ole doing that now? I mean, I heard
he's old as hell.
I heard a couple
in,
months
in
back
bad
that he
shape.
I heard he had dementia.
Well, I'm sure he does, dude. If you're 80-something years old, you would too. Getting beat around. As rough as he wrestled and as tough a guy he was and all the crap that they had to work with, working 90 days straight with a concussion, probably got three on the road anyway. You know, I mean, come on, man. He was a man's man, you know?
Why has he never mentioned, though, a man in the Horseman? I'm just wondering. I know, I don't know. I've heard that he has not a good reputation. I mean, I met Ole in person, him and Stan Hansen. I met both of them at the Legend Fan Fest, got a picture made with them. They're real nice and everything, but I don't know what the...
Yeah.
I don't know what the whole issue is with Ole and the Horsemen. Because I know he wasn't inducted in the Hall of Fame either.
Speaking of Mance, man, you remember William Regal's
interview
with WWE?
He's a man.
He's
just like Big Josh.
Yeah. Oh,
that was
tremendous.
Great, too. That was freaking awesome. It was awesome.
That was pretty awesome. Oh my goodness!
I thought Mark Mero coming in as Johnny B. Bad in the WCW was a good way to come in. He was flashy.
That was managed by Teddy Long was managing him. Yeah,
correct. He was flashy. He came in. He was a boxer. You know, all that stuff. He was doing the little Richard-looking thing. Let me tell you something.
Right.
It worked. It took off.
Oh,
he was popular as all get-up, you know.
Yeah, he was.
From his debut until he decided he was going to go to WWE. I think that was his downfall. I think he should have – if he was going to do what he's doing today as a job, he should have done it when he left WCW. His legacy as a wrestler and career was ruined in the end by WWE. He should have bailed well before that.
You know, Van
That's
Hammer's
my opinion.
Debut. Van Hammer's debut.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was
a lot
good.
Of, Booze there, who's now with SmackDown, who plays guitar for Nakamura.
Yeah. Yep.
Van Hammer debuted on SmackDown.
No, Brian. We're talking about the comparison.
Oh, Lord.
Somebody help
that man. No,
Booze is with SmackDown with Nakamura. We're just talking about the similarities.
Of him playing
him
guitar.
And
I don't watch WWE anymore, so I don't know who's who on what. I thought you said Van Hammer.
He did. Never mind.
Yeah,
Stop talking. Forget it. Moving on.
And then with Man Mountain Rock.
Yeah.
Man
Mountain Rock.
Deal. Yeah.
Yes,
right.
He did.
He was formerly Max Payne, Cactus Jack's old tag team partner in WCW.
Correct. Yep.
Yeah, I remember that. And then you had a Waylon Mercy coming in there. Used to be Dangerous Dan Clavin.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now his deal was very similar to Bray Wyatt's. His character.
Yeah.
Gimmick.
I heard they were going to try to make him like Bray Wyatt, but that didn't happen.
I really think what's his name? Elias is going to be the new Bray Wyatt.
I thought that was Alexa Bliss.
No, she's still under the spell of the Fiend. And the spell should have been, when he got fired, it should have been broken, okay? She's still under spell because they're going to make a new Fiend. They're going to keep the Fiend character. And I'm telling you, I believe Elias is going to be the new Fiend.
That's ridiculous.
Well, Bray, you think? Bray, well, we're talking about Vince McMahon. Half the crap they do is
if
ridiculous.
If you will.
You're right. Yeah. Thank you, Dusty Rhodes.
Oh,
man.
This is Brian,
you're
good.
Killing me, bro. You're killing me, Smalls.
This is getting good.
It is.
Oh, my
Brian.
Goodness.
And what about, trying to think of another interesting debut. What about...
Ding Dongs?
What about
remember
when...
Remember the Ding Dongs Clash of Champions?
Ding Dongs.
With the bells, kept falling off the boots.
I've heard of them. Who was that?
That was the Ding Dongs. They were a masked tag team. They made a debut at one of the Clash of Champions the night that Lex Luger turned on Ricky Steamboat.
Okay, I want to ask you this. Who was the Batten Twins?
So
they were wrestling.
I know that, but who were they? What company did they work for? Because I've never seen them wrestle.
They've wrestled for years, man. Oh my God! Like from World Class to Smoky Mountain to they were all over the place, all over territories back in the day. Was that? No, they didn't wear masks.
They did.
They were twins. They looked alike. They were twins.
Were they like the? Were they those two guys? And David Stead with the blonde hair and had a little bitty blonde spat down at the bottom of the head.
No. You're thinking another set of twins. You're thinking about another set of twins. No, the Bat twins have been around. God knows, for years.
Wow.
So, okay, you got any more cool debuts we could talk about?
I can tell
Not
Brian
got
that.
I
can tell Brian that me and what's his name? Ah, crap. I'll think of it. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, Brian, you got any more debuts we can talk about?
Let me think. I got one. RVD when he was Robbie V in WCW.
Oh, wow. That was a while back.
He really didn't do no dramatic debut or nothing, but, you know.
Sorry, my bad. I didn't hit mute fast enough.
Let me think about somebody and say.
Hey, Brian, why you thinking? Me and Ricky Starks got back together.
Yeah. Now he's the champ. Isn't he the FTW champ now?
He is. AEW? He's my new boy. And we were dating, and we broke up, and now we're dating again.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it is. Isn't that nice, Brian?
And, let's see. Now, I gotta say this. This debut right here was one of the most celebrity-ridden, surprising debuts anybody's ever seen. When Toby Keith stopped the world and took Jeff Jarrett and threw him over the top rope with Scott Hall in TNA.
Yeah. That brought a tear in my beard.
Mm-hmm.
And what about old Chuck Norris when he showed up in WWE?
Chuck who?
Chuck Norris.
Oh, Chuck Norris. Yeah. He super kicked Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you what.
What about when the Rock and Roll Express? Yeah. Remember Rock and Roll Express made their first appearance, Mid Atlantic Wrestling, and that's when they, I think that was the night they won the titles, the World Tag Team titles from the Russians, Crusher Khrushchev and Ivan Koloff.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
They won the NWA World Tag Team Championships that night.
Right.
Yeah. Hmm. That was pretty big. Those guys were on fire back then. Oh, man, they're amazing.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, back then they were on fire. You know who else snuck in early on and won tag team? They finally beat Ricky Steamboat and Jay Youngblood.
Uh-huh.
I think they formed in Florida for a little bit, and then they came to Georgia Championship Wrestling first, and they beat all the tag teams up there. It was Jimmy Snuka and Paul Orndorff. They snuck in, they came in, and then when they hit Mid-Atlantic, when they got on that show, they challenged them right off the rip and won the titles. Like the next week, they were on TV with the titles. And they were showing the clip from the match. I'm like, oh, looky here. Now, I thought they were a sweet tag team. I really did. I thought they had a really good look. Both of them around the same physique at the time. All nice and cut up. All looking good. And the way they wrestled together, the styles complemented one another during a tag team match. That's what I liked.
Yeah.
I just thought it worked. I thought it worked well.
Oh, yeah, tremendous.
And I learned that another one when they rolled into town. You're like, hold up, man. You know, we just lost the Briscoes, and we just lost a couple other teams, and then here they come out of nowhere. I was like, okay, now I got another team to look at.
Nice.
Of course, they were heels, but I didn't care.
I was just looking at the greatest debuts, and one of them, you know,
you ain't that. Go ahead.
I'm not in it. When AJ Styles debuted at the Rumble, remember that?
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool.
Yeah,
and he had a successful run in Japan there too. Go ahead, Steve. Sorry. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, December of 1987, Big Van Vader versus Antonio Inoki.
Ooh, nice.
In Sumo Hall when he beat Inoki in minutes, and Inoki hadn't been pinned in singles action in years up to that point. So
right
to a riot, and there was a ban on New Japan and Sumo Hall until 1989. It was a big deal.
Oh, yeah, that was big back then. That was huge. And speaking of that, that reminds me of his WCW debut against Tom Zink, Van Vader.
Tom Zink.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was terrifying.
So you could, I guess you can call it Leon Whitehead and make a pun there.
That's awesome.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Amazing Velvet.
Hey, you know you can use, Google's your friend, right? Quit using Steve. Steve knows everything. You can look it up yourself.
Hey, K-Fate.
Oh, my bad. K-Fate.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. Well, remember the Radicals debut, WWE? It was Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, Dean Malenko, and Perry Saturn.
Yep. Yeah, that was a good group.
Yeah.
They came out of the crowd.
Oh, yeah. That was a good group. It just, then it turned dumb on Perry Saturn, And I think that messed him up mentally. That's why he was homeless for so long. After he lost his job, having to do the stupid thing with the mop and the crayons and the mustard and all that other crap. Anyway.
Remember they were trying to make Dean Malenko like a James Bond-like character?
Yeah, I know, right? Come on, man. Hey, that's funny. poor man. Oh, well.
Great stuff.
Yeah, it was good.
Any more favorite debuts you want to share, anybody?
Yeah, come on,
we're on a pretty
man.
Good roll here. We're on a pretty good roll here.
I'm trying to think of one. I remember the debut in, what was it?
You're not going to win, Steve.
Oh. Go ahead, Steve, and then I'll tell about this debut.
Yeah, Malachi Black on AEW Dynamite. That was pretty great.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That was awesome.
Good one.
That was awesome. That was awesome.
Yeah,
good.
That was awesome.
That
I
was
love
pretty
the,
amazing.
They had the lights go out during the Cody match, and then later on, Malachi kicking Arn Anderson and Cody. That was such a cool moment. And then going, making his way to the back.
That was pretty awesome.
And plus, he dropped that short film video, The Devil Made Me Do It, like that same day. So I should have known right then it was
really
the
debut. That was really good. That was well done. Did you guys see that? That was pretty awesome.
I did say that. It was like
pretty horrible.
Flick, yeah. I heard Buddy Murphy drop one like that too. In jail.
Yeah, he got busted out of the asylum too.
Probably the same as Renner.
He's killed by Buddy Matthews.
Put it together. It probably was the same
right?
That's awesome.
Yeah, I know. I know last
see,
night on Twitter.
I'd like to see Buddy Matthews or Matt Silva team up with Malachi and become like a tag team or a stable at some point. Maybe with Butcher and Blade if they leave their group.
That would be really cool. They they would have good chemistry together.
Right.
I was going to mention, I know yesterday on Twitter that, I think that Scott D'Amore said tune in tonight to Impact for Buddy Murphy's debut. I don't know what he was talking about. And then he said, we're on our way to Bronze for Glory, Easter egg. That's what he said. I'm looking at Impact right now, and I don't see Buddy Murphy.
Hey, Brian, here's a spoiler for you. Easter is going to be in April. This
I know
spoiler,
that Easter egg I had. You know, a mystery. You know, like a hint.
Yeah, I got it. I'm just playing,
but,
man. I know.
you know, last night, though, this was interesting. On Wrestle Inc., Justin Labar had a good idea. That guy, what's that guy's name, Steve? That, the UFC guy, Dan, what's his name? You know, in AEW with Scorpio Sky and them.
Oh, Dan Lambert? American Top Team?
Yeah, he was saying that Justin Labar said, I got a great idea. He said, could y'all imagine if Dan Lambert walks out there and he says, hey, I'm tired of all you wrestlers. Now, here's somebody that will really demolish y'all, and he aligns himself with Braun Strowman.
What do you think, Velvet?
What do you think?
He wants. He said, "What if Braun Strowman teams up with Dan Lambert, the MMA coach that's been on Dynamite lately?"
Oh, that wouldn't be half bad. That wouldn't be half bad. To be real, to be honest, that wouldn't be a bad angle.
Right.
Yeah. The whole thing is, though, he's got to run roughshod over everybody, though. The right way. Not
yeah.
the WWE way, the right way.
Yeah.
Dude, Dan Lambert is one of the best talkers in AEW. He's not even a wrestler. Like, he could have been a Jim Cornette, like, years ago by now.
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday, I was saying that, Dan Lambert was like a Vince Russo or Jim Cornette without having him on the show, because Dan Lambert just basically does all that talking just like they do, you know.
Minus the Vince Russo accent. Minus the Vince Russo accent. Yeah, he doesn't have the Vince Russo accent. So.
No, he don't have the New York accent. That was nice for him to put you over, though. Show a couple weeks ago when I, you know, mentioned you to him.
That was that big ups, big thanks to Vince. What about when ECW made their like WWE debut, remember that?
In the 90s?
Yeah. When they did like the run-in, I forget what match it was, but they, some of the ECW stars came out of the crowd.
It's funny,
I think
that's
it was
like
on
the original, that's like the first invasion angle.
Right.
It was February 24th, 1997, I think, is what I read.
Right. Yeah.
It was Raw from the Manhattan Center.
Mm-hmm. I remember Brian Pillman making his ECW debut. Remember that?
Oh, yes. That was crazy.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Crazy.
Yeah.
They made you believe in, like, the fans that are smart, so to speak, are hard to predict Brian. And, like, Brian was acting like he was going to urinate in the ring. He looked like he was going to stab somebody. Shane Douglas looked like he was, he was angry at Brian, and Brian was talking about Mark, like he was using the terminology, and he was the vocabulary, and he was saying like comments like, Mark is the guy that believes that OJ didn't do it. It's just like very edgy material. It was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. He worked everybody. Pillman did. He worked everybody. It was tremendous. Remember when Ric Flair made his WWE debut on Primetime with Bobby Heenan?
Yeah. That was good.
And they so missed the ball with him and Hogan at WrestleMania. Can you imagine? Oh, that would have been huge back then.
I think a lot of, you know, honestly, I think a lot of dream matches actually were missed in WWE, you know, because I remember, you mentioned about Flair and Hogan. You know, the original plans for that WrestleMania were Sid Vicious fought Hulk Hogan. It was supposed to be Ric Flair against Hulk Hogan and Savage against Sid Vicious. And at the last minute, Vince McMahon changed it. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know why, you know, so many dream matches have been like just let slip through the cracks. I mean, like, I know that they were saying Finn Balor and Bray Wyatt, you know, that would have been a good feud. They were talking about doing that.
Not again.
What are you saying?
Man, Brian, Brian, why you make him come out there and say damn to me? What the heck, man?
I don't know, Bill, but I don't know.
You must have some kind of telepathy.
Tell me. He didn't just say that.
He did just say that.
What are you saying, Steve?
Royal Rumble 2000, Taz's debut against Kurt Angle. I think that was the great
debut. Oh, yeah. That was.
He got a
that
big
was really
pop.
Good.
I think there was vignettes leading up to that, and I think it was in New York. So, like, the fans knew who he was, and he said something like the pop kind of killed him because he was already, like, made by ECW. But, I mean, as a debut in a vacuum, that was a good reaction. And plus getting the tap out Kurt Angle, choke him out, that's a pretty big deal.
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed their matches, Taz and Kurt Angle.
Right.
And that's some good ones.
And Kurt said that he didn't have a problem working with Taz. Like, I think there was backstage rumors that have been talked about over the years, but I think Kurt even said that he liked working with Taz and had no problem with him.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Remember when Brock Lesnar made his debut in the F5'd Rikishi?
I remember my mind, man. I remember when he destroyed the Hardy Boys. Like, he just destroyed Jeff and Matt early on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh.
I can't Rikishi believe
he took that car and hit Austin.
I can't believe how agile Brock was. Earlier, like when he was doing dark matches and OVW type stuff, he was able to do shooting star presses and land them perfectly.
Oh, yeah. Freak of nature, man. Just a freak of nature.
What do you think about Brock coming back for Roman Reigns at SummerSlam? He looks like a Viking now.
Looks great. He looks in great shape.
Right?
He really does. Looks really good, man. I'm psyched.
I think it's rumored that it's going to be like a year-and-a-half contract, and he might have around 8 matches is what I heard. So it's interesting that it's already rumors about his contract out there. But It'll be interesting if we get Brock Roman and Brock Lashley at some point.
So I've been dying for him and Lashley. I hope it's him and Lashley, man. I've been waiting for that one forever.
Right.
The only thing is, they said the USA Network is mad at WWE because Lesnar and Lynch are on SmackDown now.
Oh, yeah!
Mm-hmm.
Something I wanted to ask y'all about, and I was just wondering what y'all thought about this, and I hope they can get it worked out. You know, I don't know if there is a conflict or not, but do y'all think that CM Punk and Colt Cabana can work out their differences now that they're in the same company?
No.
I think they're professionals. I think even if they're not friends, I think they'll be able to work together. I think there's definitely a match there that they can build to. I think they could use real life for an angle, like Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
And I think that could be a good matchup for a good opponent for Punk to beat, but have some real life conflict involved.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I
like to see it.
I don't know why, but I just have this funny feeling that at All Out, during that women's battle royal, that AJ Lee's going to debut. I don't know why.
I know Britt Baker, so that would be a good sign.
Yeah, she.
Oh, yeah.
She actually tagged AJ Lee on the Instagram the other day.
I would like to see him bring kind of one of the women wrestling legends in to take on Britt Baker. That'd be really cool. Who would you guys pick?
Thor?
I would go way back there, and I would pick Bambi.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
We're picking a girl for what?
Britt Baker, the champ.
Oh.
Women's
wrestling. Good Lord. I love Chris Statlander. She's my favorite wrestler in AWE.
She's really good.
I said on a show earlier, I'd like to see Abaddon against Holodead.
Uh-huh.
I would like to see that. Because Holodead's in Ring of Honor.
Right.
Cool.
What about Mickey James and Britt Baker?
Ooh,
that'd be cool. Yeah.
Or what's that? Well, who was the one that's back now that's up there? That's.
What about Camille versus Britt Baker?
Oh, yeah. Who just came back to and is working in TNA? Is that Melina?
Melina.
Melina. I'd like to see her too. Uh-oh.
Hold on. Deanna Purrazzo, in fact.
Absolutely.
That would be good, yeah. That would be good. Deanna Purrazzo.
Yeah.
What about Charlotte versus Britt Baker?
No, that's the forbidden door.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Andrade did say he wanted the whole family over there.
Mm-hmm.
You just made the list!
Oh, crap. I just made the list. I wasn't doing anything. It's all Brian's fault.
Amazing, Bev. I don't have to tell you this, but I, you know, earlier you were mentioning that you and Ricky Starks were dating again. Well,
yeah,
I tweeted
we
out
are.
I tweeted out to Will Hobbs on Twitter, and he replied back to me, and he said, "You tell that Amazing Velvet I'm coming to slam him."
Brett,
so
tell him
I
to come
don't know what's going on. He's in trouble.
I got heat? All right, bring it on. That was on Twitter? I'm going to find that.
Yeah. Yeah, he's upset with you. Will Hobbs is.
Really?
Yeah, he said he's going to slam Amazing Velvet.
I'm tell him to come on. I ain't got all day to wait.
It's funny you played that, Stro, because I was actually thinking, didn't Terry Funk debut in WCW in 89 and when he attacked Ric Flair?
Yeah, Paul dragged him on the table, yeah.
That was a great
it is.
Moment.
Yeah. Right after we won the title from Ricky Steamboat. Yep. Sure enough.
That was innovative. Like, I love that guys like Terry were the pioneers of hardcore and deathmatch, but he could work on any wrestling match. Him and Mick. And doing that, I was ever on the table. That was new for, you know, audiences,
yeah,
I'm looking at
debut.
His tweets. I don't see it there, Brian.
Gotcha, Amazing Viv. I didn't tweet to him.
Come on, you should have.
You and Ricky Stark are not dating. For crying out loud, he back in March of this year, he actually asked the actress Zendaya out on a date.
That don't mean nothing.
No, I do. We are not dating.
Here comes
Kane.
Hey,
Glenn
Jacobs. Coming out there and talking about
something
next time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, man.
I'm on Ricky. I'm going to tweet Ricky Stark and say, Ricky Stark, the Amazing Velvet thinks you're hot.
Ooh.
How do that? And while you're at it, tell him that your friend Brian wants him on the WSA lunch for interview.
Yeah, okay.
We don't have anything
to do. I'm actually doing it. You might want to find Ricky Stark's
thing.
The Amazing Velvet.
Wait a minute.
I'm actually doing it. I'm actually doing it.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, my Lord. I'm going to sleep.
Hang on. Okay, I just sent the tweet.
Nice. Did you get it?
Are you friends with me? I hope he did. Hey.
I'm looking on
now. Let's
Carrie Daddy. Let's see.
Look, Carrie Daddy is Cur Daddy. Get it right, boy.
Carrie.
Ain't no Carrie in there. Ain't no Y in there. What the hell's wrong with you?
Carrie Daddy.
You awesome. I don't see you on Twitter. You got me blocked.
I'm on. No, I do not have you blocked.
It says
what
request for you is still pending. As I see
what is your handle on Twitter?
AEW soap opera fan. You ought to see it when Stro and Steve tagged me and stuff.
No, I don't. What is your handle again?
He blocked you.
K-E-W, Soak Opera Fan.
Everybody's laughing. I still can't hear what you're saying.
A is in apple. E is in east.
Yes.
W is in west. And then you got a Soak Opera Fan. And it still says pinned on yours. It says sports, NFL, NBA, NLB, WWE, basketball, baseball.
I'm already following you. I'm not blocking you.
Well, what?
You're an idiot.
I'm
already following you.
You got a purple shirt on, a purple football jersey.
Oh, my God.
Well, where are you at, man?
Lord have mercy.
Yes, I do have a purple football jersey on, but go ahead.
I was thinking about this just now, but I think, Velvet, weren't you on that podcast that we did with Chaz, and we interviewed Mario Mancini?
Oh, yeah.
That was cool talking to somebody that I didn't know that Undertaker's actual debut opponent was Mario Mancini. I thought it was that Survivor Series 1990 that they recognized with the Million Dollar Man, but that was cool getting to talk to Undertaker's first WWF opponent.
Yeah.
But I think they aired it after Survivor Series, but I'm pretty sure he faced Mario before that Survivor Series match.
Now, I'm going to post it.
Crazy.
Be quiet. I'm going to post it on mine now because I sent that directly to him.
Page.
Okay? I went directly to Ricky Starks. And now I'm putting it out in the open on mine right now. You big doofus.
It don't matter. It
doesn't matter if you can't find it, you jabroni. Yeah, the Twitter rules. I see it. It
ooh,
says the amazing
ooh.
Velvet thinks Ricky Starks is hot. I just seen it. You're such a...
Oh, my.
Dippity-doo-not.
No, Shinsuke Nakamura
is the same as they in NXT.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good one.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That might still be his best WWE match, I think. Like, that was a great first opponent for Nakamura and Sami Zayn. As Sami Zayn left NXT.
Oh. Right. I was so excited.
Yeah, you're
to see
not
Nakamura.
Even following me, Amazing Velvet.
I am following you because when I hit it, it would have said unfollow you.
Mr. Hollywood, Chaz, Steve, and Stro are, but you're not. I don't even Jesse is.
You're not listening to what I'm telling you. Listen to what I'm
pending,
telling you.
You're not listening to me.
No, I'm looking at you right
out,
now. WSC, please be quiet. WSC Lounge with your picture. It says Brian, AEW soap opera fan, CEO and host of the WSC Lounge. It says I'm following you because if I hit following, I can hit it and unfollow you.
Dude, what? Let me. What is your name on here? Is it David Keith? Is it Care Danny?
Oh my God! Are you a dipshit or what?
Care Daddy.
David.
Standing next to you.
Listen, David Kerr. It's Kerr Daddy 99.
Yes, and it says pending. Let me send you another request.
Oh, my God.
Now I just did it again. Let's see if you get it.
Hey, I got another
thing. Okay. What you got, Steve?
Now you got it.
No, I already had it.
The Amazing Velvet thinks Ricky Starks is hot. Okay, I'm going to retweet that. Oh, I can't retweet it because your tweets are protected.
No. No, I did it twice.
I'll just tag him.
There you go. Just tag him.
What were you saying, Steve? What debut you got?
Sorry.
Scott Hall, WCW 1996 when he invaded Nitro. And that kind of started the NWO.
Yes. Oh, man. That was a classic.
Broke up a match, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know who I am, but you don't know why I'm here. That was a pretty cool promo moment.
That really was.
Angelina Love is facing Max the Impaler this weekend.
Nice.
That's a big gal, that Max the Impaler.
Mm-hmm.
May 24th.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway. Yikes.
Oh, man.
We're having fun. And nobody's listening to us except for Brian.
Speaking of Angelina Love, the Beautiful People debut.
Oh, yeah. That was hot. Let me tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was hot.
I'll be right back.
Why? Where are you going? Ricky Stark's calling you? Ah.
Ryan's got connections.
Right.
No.
Remember Adrian Street debut? Adrian Street debuted with Mid-Atlantic Wrestling
Championship.
And he started a feud with Jimmy Valiant.
That was great.
And
that was
Valiant,
so funny.
Jimmy Valiant kept bringing chocolates and flowers to Miss Linda. And Adrian Street smacked Jimmy Valiant with a glove full of rocks. Oh, that's tremendous.
Okay.
Good stuff. That was a blast in the past.
What about Kevin Owens' debut? Kevin Owens' debut.
Yeah, that was good. Kevin Owens' debut on Raw, right.
He beat up Cena, powerbombed him.
That's right.
I saw Owens in Ring of Honor in 2013 before he left, so it was kind of cool getting to see him in WWE taking out John Cena, their top guy. So I was definitely rooting for Owens.
Right. That was a good one.
What about John Moxley, Double or Nothing 2019, when he attacked Kenny Omega?
They had the brawl, the big brawl that night.
Yeah, there was a big stage slam, too, off the poker chip. Crazy.
Right.
Mm-mm-mm.
That was good.
Well,
you got any more velvet?
I can only say one thing, baby. I've got to shake.
Yeah.
I got to shake it.
You got to shake it.
Norman Smiley with the wiggle, baby.
Oh yeah,
I like Norman Smiley. He was a good worker. He was a good worker.
Yeah,
he was a good worker.
Awesome.
And everybody
dude.
Gave him a bunch
awesome.
Of crap, so you know what he did? This is the funny part, though, and you should know this because you've been around him.
Okay, I'm back.
Oh, yeah.
The funny part was had no direction for him. All that stuff that he did with, like, the baseball catcher's uniform and then the little shoulder pad, he did all that. He kept himself relevant on TV. Because they had no direction. He goes, well, screw this. We're going to have fun then. And that's what he did.
Mm-hmm.
That was smart on his part to stay on television, get that paycheck.
It really was.
And a lot of these guys today won't know that. I mean, come on.
That's how Conan got himself over when he was with the Wolfpack. Because he kept putting his face in the camera every time he looked at him. He And finally, he was over because his face literally was all the time in the camera. He knew exactly where that camera was at every time.
Oh, of course.
He went.
Yes, he did. He was a smart. Listen, he's a very smart guy. He's not dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh no!
Before he got injured and then later got sick, he was one hell of a wrestler. When he made his debut.
Yep.
Man, I'm
yeah,
like, God, they got this guy out of Mexico. He came in like, bam, 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 let's go. And you're like, holy crap. He had more energy than everybody in the building when he first showed up in WCW. He came a fistful of fire, man. I loved when Conan.
He was in soap operas and everything down in Mexico. Conan was. Now, he was a big star.
That is
how cool was it that Ric Flair? How cool was it that Ric Flair attacked Conan on Triple Mania recently?
That was cool. Him and Andrade doing stereo figure fours, man. At Triple Mania. That was awesome. He still threw a mean punch too. See the punch he threw? Man, that punch was pretty sweet. Flair's punch is really nice. He can throw a good punch when he wants to.
Hey, what about Finley's debut in 1996 when he attacked Regal while Regal was having a match?
I loved it. Oh, I loved their feud, man. Oh, God. The matches they had from then on out. Oh, my goodness. Everybody from the back, the monitors, everybody was like on the edge of their seat wanting to watch these two go at it. Finley and Regal.
Yeah, I loved his WWE work as well. And they even fought there 10 years later. But, very intense. That Uncensored 96 match is a great part of the history.
What about the Goldust debut? The Goldust debut.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool. That was pretty awesome.
Yes. And the debut of Shattered Dreams.
Yes.
That was good stuff, man.
Dustin
God,
it
was
home
good
run
stuff.
With that one. Yes,
oh, my gosh. He didn't want to do it, and then he did it for so long and got so good at it. And then he was coming to the end of that, he was phoning it in. But, I mean, that was a good character for him. Kept him relevant, kept him in the business. I know he had fun doing some of it. I'm sure there's some drag parts of it. You're like, But still, for the most part, it kept him relevant and kept him on TV for quite a while.
You sure did.
Yeah, I was reading up just to check the date. He did have a debut match with Marty Jannetty at In Your House 4. It was October 26, 1995. And then he also defeated Bam Bam Bigelow in Bigelow's last in Survivor Series. So, I think Goldust is pretty underrated. And his match with Cody and AEW, that bloodbath match, that was great.
Oh, yeah, yes, it was. That was really good.
I love both his Goldust work and his natural work in AEW. And he even went by Dusty Rhodes Jr. at one point early in his career. He's a pretty great worker throughout and still moves pretty well late, even in his recent years. Like, he's, like, doing Canadian Destroyers and Code Reds, like, just stuff I wouldn't do.
Canadian Destroyer.
His work with Undertaker and his early Goldust persona, like, that was some great stuff. When he's quoting Tombstone, and he's just, like, playing Undertaker and Mankind, attacks Undertaker in that casket match, just awesome stuff.
Yeah, it was. I love the tag team he did when he teamed with Booker T. Oh, those two together were amazing.
Yeah, him. It's funny, like Goldust, he's got these partners. He's got just to be funny. I just noticed he's got a lot of black friends. It's just hard not to notice. Like Cedric Alexander, R-Truth, Booker T. He's like a good tag team guy, and he's always funny in the scenes that he does. Like I still find it funny how R-Truth, I think, found him in a bathroom stall. And Goldust is just sitting. he's standing. He's like crouched on the toilet seat, and his foot fell in the toilet. Just so random and funny.
That's funny.
And like when he would imitate other people, like he had like a. He had face paint like The Rock. He like man feels like The Rock.
Yeah.
He had a crazy phase in the Attitude Era. He even imitated Dusty at one point. He went by the artist formerly known as. So he did like a Prince gimmick with that.
Yeah.
Just, he had so many interesting gimmicks with Goldust.
he was so good at it, man.
Oh yeah.
You know, he made the most of it, and he made money.
When he was doing the cinephile stuff with R-Truth, when he was like being a movie like expert, like when he was directing his own cameraman, like I thought that like when he went back to his roots, I thought that should have lasted longer, to be honest, when he was dealing with R-Truth, when he was doing the director stuff with the cameraman. That was fun.
Yeah. Did Brian get lost
no,
trying to find
him? I'm still here.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. There he is. There's Brian.
Did you hear, you know, Edge, like, he was doing the Brood stuff, and I heard that Gangrel was actually going to debut on Dynamite this week in Milwaukee. Like, Gangrel did a cameo at a pay-per-view a while back.
Uh-huh.
I think it was Full Gear. He was supposed to have a Dynamite debut, and because they used the Brood twice, they used the entrance, like, they had to go a different direction, uh-huh. But I they bring Gangrel back. Maybe at, like, All Out or sometime after that, because it would be kind of cool to have Gangrel versus Sting or Gangrel and Christian team up or against each other. In
that would be cool.
Or even Gangrel versus Aleister Black.
Oh, yeah, Malakai Black, that'd be cool.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Malakai Black. Yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah, that'd be a good match. Good match.
So you guys got any plugs? You guys want to go out there? It's plug time, so have at it.
It's plug time.
Sorry. Before I plug, I want to mention that AJ Styles' Royal Rumble debut. That was a pretty
good
one.
Yeah, we mentioned that earlier in the podcast. Yeah, that was big. I thought that was really big.
Oh,
AJ Styles.
I was really excited to see him pop up there and get that reaction. So, but yeah, plugs if anybody has them.
I got one plug, and then I got some serious mentions. The one plug I got, I want to promote that at AEW All Out in Chicago, Illinois. It will be Paul White versus QT Marshall with a special referee just signed to AEW a matter of 3 hours ago, the Amazing Velvet Kerry did.
You're so
dumb.
And hey, Brian, if that's true, I'll be on TV. You know what I'm going to do to you? I'm going to wave at you and stick my finger up my nose.
Okay. That'll be for you, buddy. I appreciate that, brother. First of all, I want to ask y'all to please remember my mom in your prayers. She went today to have her yearly echo on her heart, and she also had an echo on her neck. She had the arteries in her neck. We go back next Thursday on September the 2nd to get the results. Please pray that, you know, that she gets good news and that everything is okay with those tests and everything. And also continue to remember me in your prayers. I'm doing a lot better. I still have problems where it don't happen every morning, but some mornings I wake up and my pinky finger, my ring finger will be a little numb and I'll have to rub my hand to get my feeling back in my finger after a minute or two it'll come back. Let's not forget, please, everybody out there listening to this podcast, please pray for Kabul, Afghanistan. There was a explosion today, two explosions. American forces were killed over there that, support this country and fight for our country every day. And also, Afghan people were killed over there and, just remember them in your prayers. They're going through a very rough time, and we're privileged to have the freedom that we have in this country. And a lot of times, we take things for granted, the freedom that we do have. But just pray that that God will comfort those families, and He'll. We're working out where we can get the Americans out of Afghanistan and help the Afghan people over there. And that's really all I got to. I don't really have anything to note except the Amazing Velvet thing and the prayers, but that's all.
Come on, buddy. All right, pro wrestling interviews every Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. I don't have a guest yet. I've asked three people. I'm hoping to have the guest pinned down by tomorrow. I need to talk to Steve about that, too. Papa Stro, need to talk to you about a booking in September. So when we get off of here, I'll call you. So with that said... what do you got going on the rest of this week, sir?
Oh, well, thank you for asking, actually. Tomorrow night, the Stro Zone at midnight Eastern Standard Time on my official Facebook page, facebook.com/StroTheMaestro. And our feature tomorrow night is going to be Crash of Moons from the 50s, so please tune in.
Cool.
Guys, it's been great. I've had a blast tonight. This is a great time. You guys make the show as always. I mean, there wouldn't be a WCW Retro without you guys for sure. So, I mean, thank you guys so much for calling. And calling anytime. Bring your friends. Yeah, bring friends, fam. Whatever you want to bring, invite as many people as possible. Let's make it a party each and Thursday, man. Love it. And we'll have another cool topic to discuss next week for sure. But
cool.
Listeners listening that would like to check on the archives, go to VOCNation.com, look for WCW Retro and Greatest Debuts for tonight's show. And you guys be good to yourselves and each other. Have a great rest of the week and weekend. God bless you all, and we'll see you next Thursday. And We'll close out with some NWO. How about that?
Yeah.
This for you, Granny. Happy too sweet birthday for you.
Hey, Malcolm. This is you, Malcolm.
Yeah, Malcolm. We miss you, man. You guys take care.
All right.